From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
Don't answer this question too quickly. Take your time and think it over. How many mints are you growing in your garden? When Ken Drew suggested the other day to me that we talk about mints on the show, I thought, spearmint, peppermint, what? But then I thought a moment longer and looked around and realized there were mint family relatives all over the garden, even unintentionally among the lawn weeds. So the many faces of mints is our topic today, but first these messages.
Underwriting support by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, supplying landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners with new ideas and high-quality flower bulbs for fall planting. Plant tulips, plant daffodils, plant Color Blends this fall. Available at colorblends.com.
You all know Ken Drew's regular visitor to the show and author of 20 garden books and longtime friend. When he's not managing the antics of two troublemaking but gorgeous canines, he manages his extensive garden in New Jersey. Hi, Ken. I changed your intro.
Gorgeous canines. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, they're handsome. It's true. I don't know who's managing who.
I left that part out. Since we're talking mints today, which are often aromatic, let's have a giveaway of your latest book, The Sensual Garden, about scent and fragrance and so forth, with a transcript of the show over on awaytogarden.com, okay?
Yeah, that's lovely.
Thank you. Good. When you said it, as I said in the intro, I was like, what, mint? What do we want to talk about? And then you and I both got to sort of digging around and reading about mints, the mint family and so forth. So tell us a little bit about the breadth of it.
Well, I could stand in one place and just turn and look and see there's bee balm and there's lemon balm and there's some, there's just so many mint family relatives. And you can often recognize them not only because many are fragrant when you rub the leaves, but also because many have square stems. But there are over 230 genera and over 7,000 species of mint relatives, plants in the Lamiaceae family.
So the mints, there's like 200 and something, 200, what did you say, 30 or 40 or something? I mean, I see numbers everywhere,
right.
Different genera of plants in that family. And they're not all herb garden favorites either. I mean, the range is really quite amazing.
Well, there's perennials and annuals and shrubs and subshrubs. So the range is amazing.
So I guess if we're going to, and you said square stems, and that's one of the kind of fun things that makes you feel like a science-y geek or something like that, where you can amaze your friends. it is almost like it's like a diagnostic thing to know if something is a mint relative. Is if you put your fingers around the stem, you will feel the sort of edges. It has edges, right?
Right, flat sides. And if you happen to cut a coleus stem and look at it in cross section, it's a square.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of a fun little nerdy thing to do. So maybe we should just start with the minty mints, the real mints, the ones that we say, I have some peppermint to put in my whatever, or my tea or whatever. So do you grow any of those? And
I do. My all time favorite is a spearmint. Called Kentucky Colonel, and I think it's called that because of mint julep. It's a little fuzzy leaf, and it's kind of stiff. And there's so many people are growing this thing and putting a label on it. I'm not sure that what I have and think is Kentucky Colonel is, but if you go to a reputable source like Wellsweep Herb Farm, I think they have 50 mints. But they do have that spearmint, which is in general my favorite for using in so many things.
Yeah.
With strawberries cut up. So when you rub the leaf, it's wonderfully sweetly fragrant, and it's also delicious. But I also really like a peppermint that's called chocolate mint.
Oh.
And, you know, I don't know why exactly it's called chocolate mint. It has dark stems, almost black stems. It's very pretty. And you rub the leaf of that, and it, you know, it cleans out your nasal passages.
Well, I'll note that for the next time I need that effect.
You know, there's a mint, a Cuban mint that's called Mojito, and there's Egyptian mints. Oh, there's so many mints. Curly mint. I used to grow Menthus picata crispa. So that's, you know, it's got a curly edge.
Uh-huh.
Things like that. Lots of things.
Yeah. And so the one thing about a lot of these, I guess we could call them culinary mints or whatever, the ones that we're most familiar with, is that they can be a little ambitious, a little lusty. Right.
The best thing is to grow them in a pot where they can't escape. They'll even try to get out the drainage hole if they can.
Yes.
I have my spearmint growing in a raised bed that's rock on one side and pavement on the other. And it's worked. It's been there for several years, and it's just there.
Imprisoned.
Imprisoned, right.
Because
they run, or do they gallop?
Yeah, they gallop eventually. Yeah, they do.
I guess they're pretty hardy too.
Yeah. And so there's more mint relatives in the herb garden. And you mentioned a couple of them at the beginning. But when you were just talking about chocolate mint and this and that, and the other thing, I was thinking about all the basils, you know, that have different, right. And that's a mint. Isn't that correct?
Yes, it's in the mint family too.
Right. So, and those come in a range of, fragrances, flavors, however we want to talk about it. The compounds in them are quite distinctive, and even in leaf color, they can vary. So that's another one. What about some of the others in the kind of herb garden traditional world?
Well, there's oregano and marjoram and thyme. And surprising to me, when we started talking about mints, rosemary and lavender are also in the mint family. And now they're subshrubs. And there's woody.
Right.
I've got a wonderful lavender blooming, well, it's been blooming for well over a month. And it's very short, and I can't find the tag because I can't find any tags.
Yeah.
They're all gone.
Yeah.
This is and I have another lavender almost next to it. And this is growing in quite a bit of shade. And the one next to it is leggy and has the tall wands, like four of them. This one is compact. It looks dwarf because I think it lays down. It's only about 8 inches tall, and it doesn't have long wands. The flowers are right on top of the foliage, and it has that unmistakable, unique lavender fragrance.
My favorite of all.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You never tell me that.
I love lavender. Yeah. 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 If there's ever, I don't use a lot of fragrant products with fragrance, but if there is something like a hand soap or, you know what I mean? And those kinds of things, I'll always go for the lavender. So yeah. Yeah. I don't know why, just like it. But, you said flowers, and you were talking about things with flowers. That would be the other way that things in the mint family are recognizable, and is that the flowers there is a certain similarity, obviously, in the floral structure.
Right. And when my mints bloom, they have little stubby wands, you could call them, I guess. I don't know. They're usually about 2.5 inches tall, and they have little tiny pink flowers on them. But if I look at Monarda, it's like those flowers are blown up, and you can really see that they're tubular, and, well, the hummingbirds love them. And you were talking about fragrance, and I have a soap that has bergamot in it, and which is kind of we're taking a left turn here because, you know, bergamot's in Earl Grey tea, but it's not really Monarda.
Right.
It's a kind of orange, but the Monarda smells like the bergamot. And so that's one of its common names, and bee balm. So And we have that wild one that grows on the road, that along the road, that's a native plant and also not terrible. Fistulosa, Monarda fistulosa.
Yeah.
I know you have that too, the pink one.
Yeah, it's kind of lavendery pink. Yeah, it's wonderful.
The Monarda didymas that are available, there's just an incredible range, and they are really, you grow them for the flowers, even though the foliage is fragrant too.
Yeah. Now that's one where you really know it's a mint. I mean, if you look before it's flowering, you know, you can see that prominent square stem, and yep, the foliage even, yep, looks like a minty mint, you know. So, you know, even when we started looking and doing a little homework prompted by your suggesting the subject, you know, we were surprised at how many things, and some are real oddballs. So are there any others in the sort of, well, ajuga, you know, that most of us never get rid of in our gardens. Ajuga, bugle weed or whatever it's called,
right,
is a mint, right?
Right.
So, yeah. But are there any other herbal ones that we forgot, or is that?
I think of catmint as herbal. Nebula.
Right, right, right.
I don't grow germander. I don't know if you do. Tucrium?
Tucrium, no, I don't. But that's another one, right?
Boarhound.
Okay. Right. Marubium, I think that is. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And hyssop. And I don't mean agastache,
uh-huh,
which is sometimes called hyssop too. Let's see. You mentioned the patchouli.
Oh, how funny. I didn't know. Yeah. So whatever. I don't grow that.
But. Oh my gosh. All the salvias.
Right. Sages. Of course. Of course. How could we forget? Right. Right.
I didn't forget. I almost forgot.
Yeah. Saved by the bell. Yeah. So, and that's a whole world unto itself. I remember a few years ago, or a million, visiting the garden of, speaking of derailing, I'm going to derail us. Back in time to a garden visit we made in California, Northern California, together, to the garden of Betsy Klepsch, who wrote the book about salvias and was a great grower of salvias, and so many different kinds, and just the diversity. And so for many of us, we think of the culinary sage, and yet there's all these ornamental ones, and so on and so on and so on. I mean, really, but that's a classic. That those flowers, you can tell those are the mint, you know, with a little lip and everything, right?
And it's a lot more than turkey stuffing.
Yes, it indeed is. It indeed is.
There's so many ornamental ones. Most of them are, I would say they're hardy to zone 7, most of them,
mm-hmm,
of the really ornamental ones. And they're grown as temperennials, some people say, or, you know, they're perennial, but they're not that hardy.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them are,
mm-hmm,
and do have flowers. Boy, in our lives, we have seen some beautiful salvias, I must say.
Do you remember that day going to visit her?
Oh, yeah, and the double fence. And oh, my gosh, it's so vivid. It's amazing. I remember almost everything we did on our travels.
Yeah. Going to California together was fun, and all kinds of other crazy places. But, yeah, the double fence, for people who don't know, the double fence was, she didn't want a big, there's a lot of deer there, and she didn't want a big deer barrier, you know, 8 feet tall to keep them out. So she had 2 parallel 4-foot fences, maybe 5 feet apart. And I think she grew roses in between, in the gap in between. But the deer, because of the way their eyesight works, they won't go into a tight space, and they perceive it as a place they're going to get stuck. So they didn't get into the garden inside the second fences because they wouldn't jump into this 5-foot wide space between the 2 parallel 4-foot fences. So it's a great way to keep out deer without being, you know, in the Fort Knox kind of a situation.
It was very pretty, actually.
Oh, it was beautiful. And she planted all in between in that area. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, deer have to have a safe place to land. And if they don't see that, they go away.
Yeah, please go away. So then there were even some, like one thing that was on the list of mints, in the mint family, Calocarpa, is that, did I make that up?
American Beauty, American.
Beauty Berry.
The weird things that are mints, Bells of Ireland is a mint.
Oh.
Have you ever grown that? I think it's a biennial, isn't it?
Like a million years ago, but yeah.
Yeah, me too, a million years ago.
Yeah.
And I mentioned the agastaches.
Yeah.
But the woody plants, like you said, the beautyberry and the and clerodendrons.
Huh. Yeah. The beautyberry, I mean, again, like I've never really looked closely at the stems or the sort of what's holding the leaves or any. I've never looked closely.
And never looked at the flowers.
No.
And that's a dead giveaway if you ever see it bloom. They have flowers that look just like the spearmint flowers.
Right. And because what we grow that for is the unbelievably strange purplish colored fruits, or in some cases white fruits, right? I mean, I think, So that's Calocarpa is one that I was really surprised by that one, probably more than any other one. And I think one of the other traits is that you mentioned this, but even with that, I don't have Calocarpa in the garden at the moment, but I want to go out and like rub the leaves or the stem or bruise the stem and see if it has an aroma. Do you know what I mean? Because most of them have some sort of volatile compound somewhere in their green tissue or their stems that is another giveaway.
That reminds me of Vitex.
Vitex, right, another shrub. I haven't grown that. I remember it was kind of a thing for a while, but I don't have it in the garden. I've never had it.
Well, in New York City, you see Vitex around Agnus castus. Is that what the? And I don't think that's super hardy, and you probably couldn't grow it. But I grow one that's Vitex negundo, and it has another name because it's. I always think it's like Laciniata, but it's not.
But it's something with an L, maybe.
No, it's got cut leaves. That's why.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I know. You know, there's one that's, I think it's cannabinifolia or something.
Because it looks like cannabis? Like,
yeah. But that's not the one I have. The one I have is like you take the cannabis leaf and then you cut it some more. So it's very feathery and beautiful. And it's been down to 10 below and it's very nice. But the point, if you rub the stem, especially a young stem, and smell it, it's got a smell that's sort of Christmassy, a little bit of nutmeg and cinnamon, just very faint, kind of like bayberry, if you can imagine.
Right. And it's a mint. It's in the
And it's family. A mint. And it's woody. Yeah. Woody shrub. I guess, actually, it could be a tree.
Right. I have a couple of prominent lawn weeds. Not that I have any lawn weeds. That are mints that I think may take over the earth.
I don't have a lawn. I don't have a grass lawn. I have a glaucoma lawn.
Glaucoma heteracea, what do they call it? Ground ivy? Is that what they call it? Creeping Charlie? Is that another name for it?
There's a lot of names, but ground ivy is good. You're safer because some of those other names are shared by Leishmanias and stuff.
right. True. But glaucoma heteracea. So, and that's another one where the species name heteracea says it comes from hetera, the genus for ivy, right? So it's telling you what it's like. It's like an ivy, right? It's the glaucoma that's like an ivy. It looks like an ivy. Yeah.
It is. I'm almost speechless. There is so much. And the leaves this year are like geraniums. They're huge.
I agree. And I was thinking maybe we should put out a call to everybody listening to start a support group for survivors of glaucoma.
Or maybe somebody could tell you if they didn't use a chemical and got rid of it. I once read that you can get rid of it or discourage it with the pH, but I don't think that's true.
Right. And for many, many, many years, I had it in one area. Quite a distance from where it is now in many other areas. And, I used to hand pull it. It's kind of, it has it's kind of viney and it's like a strawberry. It kind of sets down with little like stolons, I think. I'm not sure, but you know what I mean? It's kind of has like little runners. Yep. There's the rooted in sort of beginning of it. And then it sends out these little, not little, but long, thin strings with, and then those root down. And I used to just, pull it carefully and it was under control for, I don't know, you know, be in the same place and I do the same thing every year for, I mean, we're talking 20 or more years and of that. And now it's at the edge of every bed. Do you know what I mean? It creeps in from the lawn to the, where the bed, I cut, where I cut the edge of the beds, and it's all, it loves that spot, as do many lawn weeds.
This year it is everywhere. It's epic, everywhere. Yeah. And it's huge and it's smothering things. Do you have prunella?
Yes, prunella vulgaris.
Some people have that as it's a weed for some people, you know. Yeah. I don't have a lot of it.
Oh, I have tons. You can have some.
No, thank you.
Now that's,
but it does have nice flowers.
It has little purple flowers. Insects love them. You know, there's the lovers and the haters of prunella because it's a native plant. It does, it serves a, you know, ecosystem function and so forth. But it also, again, if you were trying to have like a mown area for walking on, you know, or whatever, it sort of takes over. I mean, where it happens, it goes sideways in an ambitious manner. So yeah, that's definitely a big one up here.
You were saying when we were talking once that any plant, if it's in a place it loves, can become a problem.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. I guess that's the case. Were there any others that we've forgotten to mention? I mean,
we've mentioned a lot.
Lot of mints.
Summer savory, winter savory. Do you grow things like that?
No. Have you?
No. Yeah. No. Oh, you know, we didn't mention lamb's ears. We didn't mention, I was trying to think, obedient plant. That's also called false dragon's head. Is that what that's called? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Obedient plant.
Physostegia,
the obedient plant or false dragon.
That's
head,
a
right.
Native too.
Oh.
And that has pinkish, dark pink flowers. It's tall, and there's a white one that's very beautiful, actually. And if it's happy, it runs. And if it's not happy, you get a little bit of a few plants. So that's and it blooms late, so that's a nice thing to have. I've never grown dittany, but that's an oregano, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
You know, ever seen Dittany of Crete? Oh,
yeah.
So beautiful. And then, oh, will that come back next year? Not for me.
No. So the lamb's ears, you said that, and it made me yearn to have it back again. I had it for so many years, and I had the big one with the big, extra big foliage, Helene von Stein or something.
Right.
Yeah, really, really fuzzy and silvery. I mean, forever and ever and ever. But again, a classic mint, you know, it sends up this thing with the tiny little flowers all over it. And, you know, if you really...
Well, except that one doesn't flower very often, which is nice because the regular lamb's ear flowers and then looks horrible.
Yeah, but you can tell it's a mint is what I'm saying. When it flowers,
you know, it
gets those little lipped, you know, tubular flowers. And that's when you know
the stems might be square, too.
Oh, they are. Totally. Yeah. And fuzzy and hilarious. So, but it makes me miss it. I don't know why I don't have it anymore, but I guess it got overrun by something. But and speaking of silvery things, Belota, have you ever grown Belota?
No.
Oh, that was one of my favorite. I think I had first seen it a million years ago at Wave Hill in a pot. And it's another, you know, very felted silvery.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Beautiful texture and that silvery color and, you know, almost like it's fabric-y, you know what I mean? It's that.
They have that little dry garden, and there's phloemus there.
Phloemus.
I love phloemus.
Yes. So that's another mint. Okay, good. So, yeah. So,
well, you mentioned, we haven't hit 2,000 yet.
But. We haven't, but you mentioned earlier, and we're running out of time, but you mentioned Wellsweeper Herb Farm, mail order nursery and in-person nursery and so forth in New Jersey, actually, a long time. And they have probably most of these things that we've been talking about.
Oh, absolutely. So
I think that was where I got my Belota back in the day, decades ago, you know, when the founder was still in charge. Cyrus, is that right?
Cy,
right. Yeah.
And he, there's a lot of plants named by him or for him. There's a wonderful pelargonium that's Cy's Sunburst. I love it.
Oh.
So beautiful. But there's, I think there's Cy mints and stuff too. Anyway, their catalog now is online.
Yeah, I'll give a link to it with the transcript.
Oh, that's great.
And as I said, yeah, because they're great. And it's a family business, and it's a really wonderful collection of herbs and good people. So we'll do that. And we'll also have the giveaway of The Sensual Garden by Kendrews. And so good to talk about mints with you, the wide world of mints. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, now I want to know more about where basil comes from, because it's loved all over the world.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll look into that next then. All right. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thanks,
go out and pull some weeds, okay?
Underwriting support by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, supplying landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners with new ideas and high-quality flower bulbs for fall planting. Plant tulips, plant daffodils, plant Color Blends this fall. Available at colorblends.com.
And I hope I'll talk to all the rest of you again soon, too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Stitcher or iTunes or Spotify. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or on Facebook and on Instagram as @awaytogarden. And happy gardening meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.